Welcome to the Rooted in Change podcast.
Hey everyone, my name is Jan and you're listening to the Rooted in Change podcast. This show features European clean tech champions and their solutions to tackle the climate crisis. Today's guest is Lars Stegmann, CEO at CAPEX. CAPEX provides the world's thinnest supercapacitors. Now, some listeners might not be familiar with the battery and capacitor landscape. So let me explain. Supercapacitors are key to the future of energy storage because they charge and discharge much faster than traditional batteries. They're ideal for applications needing quick bursts of power, making them a crucial piece of the clean energy puzzle. And we'll learn more about that in just a second. Welcome, Lars.
Thank you. Welcome, Jan.
I ask all my guests as the first question, who are you? What's your background? So tell me, Lars, who are you as a person?
Ah, great. Jan, I grew up in an international environment between Germany and Sweden, still traveling both countries. After my vocational training as a communication electronics technician, I started my electronic university in Kiel and at the University of Agder in Norway. So I have been active in the market, in this electronic market, especially more than 27 years. Always focusing on building new business areas, new technology developments, and or company transformation. In my free time, you ask me as a person, I love to enjoy the nature, of course, and any kind of water sports you can imagine, especially sailing.
Nice. Yeah, well, then I think Northern Germany and Sweden are quite good locations for that, right? Both nature and water sports, that works out well in those regions.
Yeah, agree.
Nice. Cool. So then let's move on from who you are to CAPEX and the sort of the supercapacitor landscape. I already tried to frame the problem that you're tackling, but let's maybe look at it from another angle as well. On this show, I had many guests that advocate battery solutions, right? And then I think on the storage space, there's sort of batteries and there's capacitors. Maybe from your end, why does it need capacitors? Why does it need supercapacitors at all? What's the issue there?
Well, the main issue is to get the energy storage ahead of our time. And, the battery, it's not always green and environmental friendly. In our case, it is. Let's say we are in the green market. We are approved to be in the green market. We are also even ISO 14001 certificated. So we are on the green, with a green label on the London Stock Exchange for green technology. So our technology, our products didn't harm the nature, didn't harm the environment. You can see this with any kind of shipments. So instead of batteries, you need to fill, or our customers need to fill a lot of form to get the shipments done. In our case, they don't need to have any additional form fills. It's easy to ship, it's easy to use. So we are clearly here on the green side.
Right. Understood. But then let's go one step back. For applications, why do your customers choose capacitors, or specifically supercapacitors, instead of batteries? What's the difference in use case, and why one or the other? Is it a combination? How does that look like in practice?
This is a good question. So one hand side, it's a behavior of the battery. The battery has a kind of slow behavior of to get it charged and discharged. And we are coming from the opposite side. Our energy storage is not based on a chemical base. It's based on a static. So we are quite quick in charging and discharging process, or at least our clients are able to control these by any kind of software. And so this helps our clients to implement this kind of technology in the new application and application forms. And the market, the application where we are in, theoretically, it's quite wide, right? So it's a wide range. It's a healthcare, security, industrial or mobile application, it's automotive, even data center users, AI or chip production to control the energy in their chamber, in electric chamber in the production.
All right, so basically, you can say that supercapacitors are everywhere, right? Is that fair to say?
Could be close to everywhere. We wish us
Or at least you're working
all.
on making sure that it's close to everywhere.
Exactly. This is our job now. So, CapEx, long time, in my opinion, was not seen as it should be seen. And we need to bring these brands, our products, more in the market, more in the design in, more to our customers. And we are on a good way here. However, it's a lot of market to win and a lot of new applications which we are able to support with our kind of technology.
Right. Then maybe let's stay there on the customer side for a second. Two follow-up questions on that. So one, who do you normally sell to? I think you started to expand on that, given that there's many applications from automotive to production, pharmaceuticals, IoT, and so on. So who are your ideal customers there? What do they look like? Is it the OEMs or resellers? I'd be interested in knowing more there. And then secondly, I'd be interested in hearing more about whether they have concerns, because a lot of companies that come here onto the podcast, they have a novel solution, right? They always have to convince someone that their solution is better than what they're using right now. Almost shaping the market. I'd be interested in hearing whether that's the same for you, whether they immediately understand the benefits of your technology.
Yeah, well, good, very good question. And of course, you have always engineers who are, let's say, avoid to use the latest or fancy new development or technology in their application. You know, as an engineer, as a design engineer, you have always to take a kind of risk, a timeline to fulfill. And most likely, as an engineer, you have a boss in your neck because this product needs to be launched in the market. So what we need to do is we need to play, and that's what we started, the whole piano. I like these comparisons. So on the one hand side, we finished to sign new distribution contracts. You may hear about this with Farnell, TME, RS Components, Digi-Key. But also on the master distributor side, on the Waldom this contract, we signed recently, which helps even smaller distributors to get our parts quicker in their warehouse. On the other hand, we centralize our customers. So that means we work very, very close with our OEM customers and help them for further design in of especially this kind of technology. And in the way of centralize our customers, we take away this kind of headache or any kind of fears to use this kind of new energy storage, even if this is not the real new stuff, right? Because if you mention imagine CapEx, it's more than 20 years old.
Right. So do they already know you well, or is it, or and do they already know the capacitor landscape well? How does that look, or are there still concerns to use your technology?
No, in general, they know anything about capacitors, not obviously supercapacitors, because there's a small difference, but most likely our clients know exactly what does it mean to work with batteries. So energy storage is nothing unknown. They are used to work with these, and we are able to bring a new technology in there into their landscape. And our clients really like it. They really listen to us and also help us and our own developers to think about new products, new product application, and new processes.
Right. I guess then being very customer-centric and developing solutions that the market really wants to have and is
Absolutely.
demanding, right?
Yes, agreed.
Maybe just because you said that there's a difference between capacitors and supercapacitors, for anyone who's not in the energy storage landscape, can you just expand on what the difference is and what sort of the technical side of that for our listeners who might not be familiar with that space?
The supercapacitor, we store any kind of energy in an electronic static way, compared to a battery which has a chemical process to store these kind of energy. So our products, as you mentioned also before, makes unique with the ultra flat packaging size, the very high capacity. So this gives our customers a lot of freedom for design, as well as this is most important in our industry, the lowest ESR. This is an inner resistor, which is important and controls the leakage of the stored energy in this device, right? All this means CapEx is able to offer the most compact supercapacitors to the market with an excellent performance. And this gives us the opportunity more and more to convince customers and clients to use this kind of technology for their next application.
Right, because and that brings us, I guess, back to the applications that we just covered a few minutes ago. If we're thinking about, I guess, IoT applications and so on, space is one of the most crucial requirements, right? Like in small devices and I guess pharmaceutical applications as well. If you have something that's very thin, it's a lot easier to use that, and if it even holds, then a high energy density, that becomes a very interesting solution.
Yeah, and in this case, we help our clients not only on the electronic design in, let's say on the board, on the PCB board, but also the hardware designer who are in most involved in the looks and feel of the final application, right?
Right.
So hardware designer, they have, especially with this flat packaging, more and more freedom to get it more fancy or maybe new materials to integrate it in their new devices. So on both ends we play, and this makes so important to centralize our customers here and follow the process for the design in from the early beginning, because in this case we are able to adjust and even to protect our technology against any of our competitors.
And I think that brings us nicely to sort of maybe the history of CapEx, because you mentioned that CapEx has been around for 20 years. But obviously, over the last few years, since you've also become CEO, one could say, there's sort of been an acceleration of business again and of the brand visibility in the market. So maybe you can give the listeners a quick summary of what has happened over the last 20 years, where the company maybe originally comes from, because I think it's quite an interesting story that you'll tap into in just a second, that it's a business that's actually located in Australia as well, as part as you mentioned the London Stock Exchange. So there's a global player. But then also sort of where do you want to go next? So maybe the short summary of the last 20 years and the summary of the next 5 will be interesting.
You are totally right. I'm currently leading the transformation of a company, CapEx, which is an Australian company, so down under, listed on the London Stock Exchange. This makes it a quite unique, let's say. And my main aim is to lead it in a new and the next area. So it's an exciting journey. The company is over 20 years old. So it's a spin-off of the New South Wales University. Long time ago, so 26 years ago, I guess. That means we have a kind of old structure, let's call it like this, but we renovate this step by step, right? The good thing is, and this is a major fund in our company, and most of the people don't see this, during this long period of time, we have accumulated an immense wealth of knowledge. We have the best developers, I would say, from the market on board. The technology is really unique and exciting, as it is considered in a cream product. And therefore, we are especially prepared for the energy storage market, right? So You mentioned this. This is a very good question from your side. The restructuring is happening step by step at the moment, right? We must be very careful not to get ahead of ourselves. You know, we could, but in the long run, that would be counterproductive. Our wealth of knowledge and our long history of measurements results makes us unique in the market. Now, this knowledge needs to be brought to the market with new products, new innovation. And that's what my team is working on. And you will see, we are quite successful with this. We are just recently launched another patents, and this is all in progress. And the one big change for the company CapEx is to centralize our customers, as we discussed before. In the former time, no one did this like this. They had their own view, and they licensed this business, which you're able to do. It's a nice approach, but we are not in the software area where you are able to track IP addresses. It's on the hardware and on the let's say you need to trust your partners and your customers. So all these early involvement in the development and design in process is very important.
And I guess just from what you described, sort of from the business model perspective, licensing hardware is a lot harder when it comes then to maintaining the quality of the products, the application, making sure sort of that the customer support is right. I think what you're describing there, especially in the environments that we discussed around the applications, just to name them again, automotive, pharmaceuticals, IoT, and so on, it's critical. I would assume that that your products, the supercapacitors, play a crucial role, right? Without the energy provided there, the product doesn't work and can't fulfill its purpose. So if that part isn't done right, isn't done correctly, then the whole application falls apart. And I would assume that posed a challenge in the past.
Absolutely correct, Jan. We are not allowed to fail, put it this way. So if a customer use us as an energy storage, we need to perform. We need to.
I think that's a very strong statement. Yeah, we're not allowed to fail is, that puts the stakes high.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And a lot of question comes up during the design in phase with our customers. And in this case, a long history is very beneficial. So we have all our test data somehow stored, and we are able to show them short-term, long-term, mid-term test results, which helps to define the right storage for the right application. And not a lot of companies, even big giants, are not able to do so.
Right, so it's another USP there.
Absolutely.
And then you mentioned the transformation process that CapEx is currently underway with. How far would you say you've come, and sort of what's next on this transformation agenda? You mentioned new products coming as well, the patents and so on. So what else do you have on your agenda to accelerate that transformation, make that transformation a reality?
Yeah, fair question. If you ask me, we have come very far, and we are currently on the right track. We are on our schedule. And all this you may also seen on our new branding. You know, we start a new branding of CapEx, we start a new website, and all these are the next steps or to step into the next step to reach the next chapter. The numbers itself, if you come to down to the commercial numbers, speaking for themselves, everything can be viewed transparently on our website, on our new website, I have to say. So everybody who is not aware of this, please take a look. It's very interesting. It's totally refreshing your news. In the last couple of months, we have successfully increased our market capitalization to over 20 million British pound. Remember, compared to our asset on the floor, the company is totally undervalued and therefore still interesting, very interesting, I would say, for our investors. We believe, and this is a strong leg, we believe in the investor market and are, of course, looking for more long-term investors on the AIM market, but also, of course, on equity in case. If you ask me, I believe we have the right product in the right place at the right time. So, especially here, CapEx is well positioned.
Nice. Fingers crossed that becomes a reality. And
Thank
so, if we were to speak in 3 to 5 years again, I know it's always hard for the CEO of a listed company to make long forward-looking statements, but I'll try my luck anyway. So, if we were to speak in 3 to 5 years on this podcast again, how would you say, what would you say you've achieved, and how does CapEx then look? So, new branding is in place, new website is in place, customers are centralized, but what will that transformation be completed, or is that a sort of even a cultural transformation that out of a sudden you describe that spin out, the change of the business model and so on, but maybe it's even more about an internal transformation as well, that this customer-centric mindset will always stay, and therefore sort of those ongoing processes that you've started, or these processes that you've started, will become more of an ongoing work stream that you have to always see what's out there in terms of new trends. I guess sort of the chip industry wasn't as prevalent in the last or 5 years ago, but then with the rise of AI out of a sudden, that's become a real focus area and area of interest. Yeah,
Absolutely.
so looking at sort of 3 to 5 years ahead, what's your take on that?
No, totally correct, Jan. It's really a complex theme we touch here. Let's say, even what we have done already during the last couple of months, 24 months, or more than 24 months already, we still have a lot ahead of us in terms of new development and launch additional patents. So that means we will ongoing with further investments here. So in particular, the cooperation, and we should also mention this here, with the Swiss company Schurter, to successfully combine their hardware with our products and to drive forward their product portfolio in an innovative way. This will, of course, guide us in the next 3 to 5 years as well, right? So now, with our new branding, we are well positioned to increase our visibility in the market. We see this already on the amount of followers on LinkedIn. We see this on our new requests through our new website. So this opened us contacts to customers we never spoke or talked before. We even not thought about before because they came from another angle and have to think about now to either replace their battery or to change to charge any kind of energy. So, of course, the global distributors who have joined us on this journey are also helping. Farnell, RS Component, TME, DigiKey, these are giants in the market, and this helps engineers, universities, schools, but also any kind of custom companies to serve them very quick with our products, which was not happened before. It's a totally change in the service. So we will continue to expand these step by step and further increase our production in Australia and Malaysia, as well as in China. So in 3 to 5 years, I would say you will not recognize our company as it is today.
Bold statement. I like that. Hopefully the branding stays in place, and then at least from the visual perspective, there's a visual representation that I'll still recognize. But yeah, maybe from the customer success and the numbers, there's still some room, as you mentioned before, that the market cap doesn't reflect the internal value that the company might hold.
Yep, correct. I agree.
Nice. Well then, also we started this conversation with your personal journey. You're sharing that you're interested in nature, water sports, and sort of spent your time between Germany and Sweden. I'd be interested in hearing what motivates you to implement that transformation. Sort of what is it that What is it that keeps you going? What is it that makes you get up in the morning?
If I'm not working sailing. So no, but the main aim to stand up in the morning, really every morning, is it's to drive this baby in the right direction, to moving the company forward successfully with strong team building and technical innovation. You can name it, and maybe some people would name it. It's a kind of work-life balance to find. In my point of view, it's a wrong definition. It should be called work-life integration, a kind of symbiosis of both in my case. So there's no difference between on work and off work. So in the end, for me important, making a positive contribution in today's world. This is, I would, let's say, name the mo biggest motivation at all.
And it's a very interesting sector that you're working in, right? It's sort of providing high energy density to important applications across the globe in a very unique way. So having the thinnest supercapacitors out there, that's something that is quite unique and makes it powers the transition that we see to more sustainable.
Yeah,
And
absolutely.
so that's something that also I think is in line with your other passions of being able to enjoy water and nature is because you're able to preserve the other resources that are out there and provide that energy.
Yeah, absolutely. It's in our all interest to do so and think about that, yeah.
Yeah. Well, Lars, thank you so much for making the time today. The very insightful conversation into this exciting transformation journey. I think you're the first guest that is the CEO of a company, or who's the CEO of a company that has been around for more than 20 years, and yet sort of feels very fresh and new. Sort of, it's a whole new journey that you're embarking on. So it's both a grown up, and then I guess a startup from the outside again. So it's a very
Absolutely.
interesting and unique journey. So best of luck with that. We'll keep cheering for you from the sidelines, and then let's see what this journey takes you.
Thank you, Jan. Thanks for your time and for your interview. And yeah, looking forward to have the next one and maybe give you another update on now from
Exactly.
outside.
We'll speak in 3 to 5 years, and by
Okay.
then. We'll see whether the stock price has reflected the true value of the company and the many exciting new customer contracts you will have secured by
Thank you, John.
then.